Okay, good afternoon. So today, after Trisha's nice overview, I'm going to talk about the increasing access to evidence-based interventions component. Trish was actually going to present on my behalf, but I'm here, so I don't have any relationships to disclose. So today, what I'm going to give a brief background of the evidence-based intervention initiative, and I'm going to talk about the goals and the community-wide strategies, those components that Trish mentioned a minute ago, and how they relate to the evidence-based intervention component. And then I'm going to talk about the organization's characteristics and the youth reached in the project, and then provide a summary at the end. So a brief background, as part of the Office of Adolescent Help, who funded eight of the communities in this project, they also did a teen pregnancy prevention evidence review where they identified most recently 35 programs, but they've been updating the review annually to identify programs that are effective at promoting protective factors or reducing risk factors for teen pregnancy. These include comprehensive sexuality education-based programs, abstinence-based programs, youth development, and clinic-based programs. Most of the programs, however, are curriculum-based and involve a few to several sessions over several weeks. So a key point is this is a community, our initiative is a community-level initiative, and so we wanted to see large-scale implementation in order to be able to get community-level impact to reach as many youth in the community as possible. And this required partnering with multiple settings that reach youth, and I'll talk about those in a moment. Additionally, Trish mentioned the getting to outcomes approach, and in our previous project, we had a manual was developed known as Promoting Science-Based Approaches Using Getting to Outcomes, and I'll talk briefly about that. And the overall purpose is to make sure you have the right programs, you have the capacity you need to implement the programs, and that you're also able to attend to implementing with fidelity and quality, and of course seeing that you're getting your outcomes. So the goals and strategies of this component. Well, the first goal is to increase the capacity of state and community-based organizations, these are our awardees, to select, implement, and evaluate evidence-based interventions. And essentially, that's a focus on the promoting science-based approaches using getting to outcomes process and building their capacity to use that process. Also, building their capacity to be able to educate and train people on the programs and curriculums that are used. The second goal is to increase the number of youth within the target community who are exposed to EBIs to prevent teen pregnancy. So building the knowledge and the skills of the youth to help them to protect themselves when they are sexually active or to delay sexual activity, and to focus on quality implementation, implementing the programs with fidelity and making sure they meet the needs of the community. So a quick overview of promoting science-based approaches using Getting to Outcomes. Getting to Outcomes is a 10-step planning framework that essentially takes in what are the needs of your community or your target setting, et cetera, and then based on those needs, what things do you need to change or want to impact, and what are the best practices that can guide that? And that came from that evidence review from the Office of Adolescent Health, so those they could pick from those 35 programs based on what their needs were. And then they would assess for fit to see if there's any adaptations that may need to be made based on the setting or the youth that are being served. Make sure they have all the capacities in place to deliver a program, and then lay out a clear work plan for the program, and then implement a process evaluation and an outcome evaluation to look at fidelity for process and attendance and things of that nature, and then to look at see if you're getting the outcomes that you had established earlier on as being goals of the project. And then doing continuous quality improvement, making improvements, and then, of course, planning for sustainability of the program within the setting. So, getting into our strategies to have the Getting to Outcomes approach capacity implemented with the state community-based organizations, we had a national organization that provided training technical assistance to the state and community-based organizations with a total of 376 hours of training, which in many cases was on actual evidence-based program implementation, so the training on the curriculum and how they could train people in the community, so training facilitators and training trainers. And then 691 hours of technical assistance, which in most cases involved actually coaching trainers and facilitators in the communities on how they do their education with those curriculums. State community-based organizations also provided direct technical assistance to their partners who were actually implementing programs. And they overall provided a total of 2,171 hours of training, which again was most often around actual program delivery, so curriculum-based trainings or getting-to-outcomes trainings, and then 2,844 hours of technical assistance. And I have there the median among grantees is 251 hours of training and 223 hours of technical assistance. Of the other components, the other four components of the community-wide initiatives, each one plays an important role in helping evidence-based interventions be implemented. First is community mobilization. It's an imperative to build partnerships and relationships with settings in the community that can actually reach youth, particularly in schools, to deliver programs. Stakeholder education, and making sure the community is aware of what strategies are effective, what programs are out there, what things can be used in the community. And increasing access to contraceptive services, and so because we're trying to delay sexual activity but also have youth protect themselves, if they are sexually active, they need to be able to use services in the community and have access to those. And last, working with diverse communities helped us to identify hard-to-reach populations and those youth who are most at risk for teenage pregnancy. So we're going to get into the number of organizations and the youth reached. So there were 9 state and community-based organizations in 10 communities, and across the project there were 113 program implementation partners from 2012 to 2014. We just finished our last year of the project. There was an average of 8.5 partners per community, and most common types of partners were community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, schools and school districts, and healthcare organizations that delivered programs. And there were 175 program delivery settings. So, for example, you may have a health department as a partner, but they may deliver an intervention in 3 or 4 different settings that they have access to. So there were 175 program delivery settings, which in the order of most often used, community-based organizations, schools, and then down to special populations such as foster care, pregnant and parenting teens, homeless shelters, etc. Over 19,000 youth were served by EBIs in 2014 across the project. And that was more than a 4-fold increase from the 4,304 youth that were reached in 2012. Now, initially, there were some challenges with getting all the package curricula out to the implementers, and also making sure trainings were in place for a number of reasons. But also, sometimes it took time to build relationships. And so we had a smaller number in the beginning, but now we've got up to over 19,000 in the most recent year of data. 80% of the youth who were reached were under 17 years of age. Most of the curriculum-based programs that are on the OAH list are for middle school, early high school age youth. So most of them were younger. There are fewer programs for older youth. Across the project, there was an equal distribution by race and ethnicity, but each community was different. So we have a community that's primarily Latino or Hispanic, another community that's primarily African American, and others are more diverse. But across the project, There were roughly equal numbers. The programs that were implemented most widely were sexuality education programs, and these include, this is some of the names of the more common programs: reducing the risk, which was done in schools in our project, making proud choices, actually making a difference is an abstinence curriculum, it shouldn't be in that first bullet, and be proud, be responsible. Those were the most commonly implemented across the project. They were all packaged, and trainings were available, so that helped them to be implemented widely. Abstinence-based, including Making a Difference, was a popular program as well. And then the youth development program that's pretty popular is the teen outreach program. And for the clinic-based programs, the most often one that was used is this 17 days curriculum. It's a video-based intervention that's done in the clinic setting. That was most often used in clinics. Youth served by setting. Overwhelmingly, schools reached larger numbers of youth. We had a couple of grantees who partnered with large school systems, and we're able to get programs implemented at each grade level. And so the most youth that were served were in the school settings, followed by community-based organizations as the next most often. This slide shows the proportion of youth served who reported ever having had sex. So this is just as an indicator of, are we reaching youth who are more at risk for being pregnant? This isn't an outcome. This is just kind of giving us a sense of, who are we serving? Are we serving youth who are having sex or not? So this is the proportion of those who had sex. And as you see, we did have some military partners. They were older youth, more sexually active. The health center youth are there for services, more likely to be more sexually active. But schools had smaller numbers of youth who had ever had sex, because most of them, again, are middle schools. And community-based organizations had larger numbers of youth who had ever had sex. And I'll make a comment about that in a moment. So I just wanted to show three of our grantees that actually reached large proportions of youth in the communities, and the key there was partnering with schools to get greater reach. So summary of key findings is we significantly increased the number of youth served by EBIs in communities, and communities that engage schools reach larger numbers of youths, which is not a big surprise, but although they reach larger numbers of youth and also then have a larger number of sexually active youth, more sexually active youth are reached by community-based organizations proportionally. So it's important to also work with other organizations that have reached to high-risk youth. And that's it. Thank you very much.